Okay, we're back.
Okay, we had the VOR and the VME and ILS approaches, which frankly were fairly new to me at that point. And we went back to trying the VOR, because back when I had my training, the ILS wasn't in existence. At least we didn't do it. And it was in existence, but there were so few planes ahead of it that I didn't get any training on it. And so, anyway, we had a good time with it, and I learned the hard way by just doing it. And so when I started instructing, I had to instruct them based on my Air Force experience. And of course, yeah, VOR was a very important approach at that point. We taught the VOR and taught the ILS, and we taught the ADB, which is still an important approach. And this plane that crashed over in Yugoslavia was doing an MDB approach, and my personal opinion is that the pilots never practice that approach. It's a difficult
what kind
approach.
Of a
MDB.
I mean, what does that mean?
It's an NDB, a non-decision approach, and or an ADF, I'm airplane. It's an ADF is an E. Anyways, I'm not a decision approach. And they were doing this approach, and they got, it's very difficult. If you don't do it a lot, it's difficult. And because their sophistication, their equipment is so sophisticated, I doubt if they ever practiced the ADF approach. They had no reason to. Because every airport in the country. I can remember when we had an air show here a couple of years ago, and we had a plane that was equipped from the Marines with the Harrier, mm-hmm. which can go straight up and go. It had to make an approach in Birmingham, in Atlanta, and then it followed I-20 all the way over here to Anniston, because we had an MDB approach and an ILS, but it didn't have that equipment on board. But we turned that off, and they made an approach in Atlanta and just followed it. Got under the clouds and followed I-20 all the way over here to an Anniston, which was fine.
That's how bad when we went up, that's all we flew the I-20, and that's how we got it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I followed I-20.
Don't tell him that. I did more than that.
But, okay, then instructing. From that point on, there wasn't a lot new from that point on, back in the 50s to the present time. And now we had a GPS, this is a global positioning system, satellite. And I'm sure that's going to do away with what we're using now.
Is that kind of like the computer you showed me, where it shows exactly where you're at?
Yeah, right. And that is four times more accurate than the ILS, which is our primary instrument landing system, ILS instrument landing system. And it'll be take over, I'm sure, in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'm half asleep here.
I'm sorry.
No problem. I'm glad you guys came. But the GPS is still, it's an alternate, but it's not required at this time for ILS student. But I'm sure it will be required by the time you get to Ray. And where are we going from here? Our airplanes out at the airport, of course, are not equipped with a GPS, and they will have to be within a short time.
Because it's going to become a law, mm-hmm. or a requirement?
It will become a requirement. Yeah.
Well, I guess we can just go ahead and wrap that up
mm-hmm.
at the end of your flight and stuff. And thanks for talking to me.
Hey, no problem. I hope that'll do it for you.
I'm sure. That'll be great.